Let me invite your attention this morning to the book of Acts chapter 1 with me. Acts chapter number 1. You're turning there. Let me say it's good to be back at Calvary Baptist Church and looking forward to the week that the Lord has for us together around the Word of God. Appreciate also the accommodations that the church has given to my family and I and the nice home. And I tell you, whoever put the gift basket together knows how to put a gift basket together. There was no fruit in it whatsoever. Wonderful. Wonderful. Went there and started looking at some of the things, and my boys were like, "Dad, there's Legos in there." Okay, it wasn't my boys, that was me. But it, I tell you, all kind of things, just the hospitality and the generosity towards the family, and I thank you so very, very much. Acts chapter number 1 this morning, if you would, let's begin in verse number 4. I'll begin reading here. You follow along. The Bible says, Acts chapter 1, verse number 4, says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, for the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Our Father, this morning, we thank you for the wonderful time together already gathered in your house with your people. Thank you for the music, how our attention, our hearts have been lifted towards heaven. God, I pray now for the next few moments. I pray, God, you'll clear my mind, my thoughts, and Father, please calm my nerves. And I pray that, God, you'd not just fill my thoughts, but you'd fill my voice with thus saith the Lord. And God, I pray that everything that'd be said would be glorifying and honoring to you. I pray you might work in our hearts today, especially around this subject of missions and trying to evangelize the lost world around us. God, help us, encourage us, challenge us, do all that you want done. We'll be careful this morning to thank you and praise you for it as we ask it together in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so very, very much. You may be seated. We are told here in our text that Jesus has assembled with his disciples on the Mount of Olives right outside of Jerusalem. And may I just say that's exactly what a church does. A church assembles. I don't understand how somebody can read the Bible and try to come to a conclusion of a universal church. It's not found anywhere in the Scripture. A church that assembles is neither universal nor invisible, ladies and gentlemen. It's just if a boy from Oklahoma like me can get a hold of it, I tell you, we can understand this doctrine. I appreciate the pastor this morning clarifying and just making that statement. But I'm telling you, the Lord has met here upon that mount with his disciples as a church. You'll notice in verse number 6 with me that it says, when they were come together. And again, that's that idea of an assembly. They have gathered here. And the Lord begins to tell his disciples as they're here on the Mount of Olives, he tells them that they're going to be empowered with the Holy Ghost. And may I say this morning, that there's a lot of misunderstanding, there's a lot of false ideology in our world today when it comes to the subject of the Holy Ghost of God. But may I say, it is a subject and a doctrine of the Scriptures that we as God's people need to be aware of and shouldn't be afraid of when it comes to the issue of the Holy Spirit. The Lord tells them here, he says, that they're going to receive power. And you know these disciples had to be Baptists because they didn't get it. It just went right over their head. They were it just didn't make the impact that it should have upon them when Jesus was talking to them. And they kind of just went right past that. And the Bible teaches you and I that they began to ask the Lord, will you at this time restore your kingdom. Now, notice that they didn't ask if he was going to establish his kingdom or build his kingdom. They asked if he would restore it. The idea in these disciples' minds goes back to the days of David and Solomon, when the kingdom of Israel as a nation was at its heights. They were under nobody's thumb, whether it be the Babylonians or the Persians or in their day and age, the Romans. They thought about Israel as a free people. And really, they had an ulterior motive in all this. Are you going to be able to restore your kingdom? And they're thinking about their place in that kingdom. You know, often the disciples would kind of talk to the Lord, and you'll find it in the Gospels where they jockeyed for position. Can we sit one on the other in your side in the kingdom? And Lord, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And they had all this ideas and this mentality about restoring a kingdom that they would be a part of, and they would be able to receive the benefits and the rewards. And so when they asked the Lord here, are you going to restore your kingdom? There was some ulterior motive here by asking this particular question. The Lord tells them, though, in verse number 7, it's not yours to know. The times and the seasons aren't yours to know. Don't worry about that. Don't focus on that. Don't give your attention and all that you have towards that issue. But here's what he says to them. In verse number 8, he says, but... In other words, while it is not theirs to know the times and the seasons about the kingdom, it is theirs to know what he's fixing to tell them. I want you to focus on this. Jesus is saying, here's where your attention needs to be. Here's what you do need to know. Here's what you need to be aware of. And he begins to tell them some very important truths that are laid out here. Don't worry about the times and the seasons and whether you're going to be rewarded or whether you're going to get this or when is this going to come to pass. He said, that's not really relevant in the sense of trying to give your attention and focus to those things. But here's what I do want you to focus on. I want you to focus on the fact that you're going to receive power and you're going to be witnesses to me. And there's a world that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my friend, that's what he wanted them to focus on. And so he tells them some things here. Notice first of all with me this morning that he tells them there is a power available. Now this word power, as I'm sure most of you are aware this morning, is the word which we get the word dynamite from. It has to do with the idea of ability. God is going to empower them in order to accomplish the task that he has for them. You know, often as God's people, we're full of excuses on why we're not reaching people and we're not doing this and not doing that. Say, well, preacher, I just could never do that. And the truth of the matter is what God asks of his people, God will empower his people to do. And so he says that there is a power available. There is an ability issue. Now, we need to understand this word is not necessarily the word for power as in the idea of authority. He's already given them authority. If we were to take the time this morning and go to John chapter 20 and verse 21, when they were in the upper room and he appears to them right after the resurrection, the Bible says that Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Ghost there. And he says, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. He gave them the authority to accomplish the task and the job of reaching the world with the gospel. Their authority was given then. The day of Pentecost is not an issue, my friend, when the Holy Ghost is given. It's not an issue of authority. It's an issue of ability given to the people of God to do what God wants from them. So, preacher, what's your point? If you were looked with me this morning in Acts chapter 2, we find very clearly that they did receive power. Verse number 4 says that they received the Holy Ghost. Peter begins to preach. The conviction of the Spirit of God begins to work in people's hearts and people's lives. And my friend, from there, by verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, we find that over 3,000 people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say that's power. That's ability to be able to watch God get a hold of hearts. And by the way, that's not this cheap evangelism stuff where they just go around and get somebody to sign a card or say some prayer or that kind of stuff. When the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that 3,000 got saved, you go ahead and mark it down with me this morning. They got saved. It was real and genuine and honest conversion to the Lord. And so we understand this morning that the great thing about the New Testament church is we assemble. I know I'm not a member here, and my membership doesn't lie within this church body, but I would think about the idea of my membership being back in Duncan, Oklahoma, as a member of Bible Baptist Church. When I assemble with that church, as a part of that church, I can rest assured that God has given Bible Baptist the authority as well as the ability to do what He wants us to do. You say, preacher, why are you laboring on that? Because sometimes we look at our world and we think, man, it's so wicked. Politics are so out of whack. I mean, the nonsense that is just running rampant all around us. Preacher, there's no way that we'll ever be able to do what God wants us to do. And may I tell you this morning, my friend, we can do what God wants. People can get saved. Converts can get baptized. People can get trained and taught and sent out of the New Testament church. The Great Commission can be fulfilled because of the power given unto God's house. May I just help us to understand. In fact, God will do things in and amongst His house that He'll not do anywhere else. No, I think we need to go home, and I think we need to read our Bibles and have family devotions. I'm all for that. But can I tell you, there are things that God will do in His house that He'll not even do at family devotions. This is the avenue that God has chosen to reach the world, is through the church. And He has empowered. There is power available to that. Say, so, yeah, but preacher, I don't know how it is in Duncan, Oklahoma, but in Knobnostra, Missouri, did you know that there are sinners all around us and people are cold and calloused and they're not open to the gospel? Can I tell you, people in Knobnostra, Missouri are just like they are in Duncan, Oklahoma? That shouldn't surprise us this morning. Do you realize that the Bible tells you and I very clearly in Romans chapter 3 verse 11 that there is none that seeketh after God? I know we're living in different days, and I'm not negating that this morning. But we can't just latch on to that as an excuse as to why we're not seeing people come to Christ. And again, I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm not talking about this cheap evangelism, but I'm talking about really doing that which God wants us to do. The issue is not how bad man is. The issue is whether we truly believe God's empowered His house or not. Because if we believe that, then the Bible teaches in James chapter 2 that faith without actions is dead. If we truly believe God's empowered His house, we'll act upon that belief. And so here's what the Lord told him. He said there is power available. But then He says this, there in verse number 8, He says that they're going to be witnesses unto Him. So there's not only a power available, but there's also a passion anticipated. Once you receive this power, now you'll become witnesses unto Jesus. Now this word witness is not the idea of somebody taking a stand in court and being able to testify of all that they've heard, seen, and participated in. That's needed. Listen to me. I think the greatest tool we have as a, can I use this term, as a soul winner for the Lord, the greatest tool or resource we have is that which Jesus Christ has done for us in our own heart and how we came to know Him as our very own Lord and Savior. There's no greater tool that we have to us than what He's done for us. You'll find it often in the Bible where those who had come to Christ began to tell others not some formula, not some program, not step 1, 2, and 3, but often they would tell others exactly what Jesus had did for them. We find the Apostle Paul in 3 different occasions in the book of the Acts alone where he has given his own recollection of meeting the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. But the word witness here is not that word. The word witness here is a word which we get the word martyr from. Now that just made everybody excited, didn't it? Well, preacher, what is that? You know what a martyr is? A martyr is someone who has so given their life to a cause that if it causes them to die, they're willing to do it. A martyr doesn't necessarily set out to die. They're just devoted, they're passionate, they're committed to a cause of something. In this case, God's people ought to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the fact that if it cost us our very life, we'd be willing to. No, I want to live for Him. But if it costs me to have to lay down my physical life, then that's a small price to ask considering all that He's done for us. Well, preacher, what about all these suicide bombers and that kind of stuff? They're not martyrs, they're radicals. It's different. A martyr's not, well, I'm just going to die. No, a martyr is, I've given my life. There's a passion. There's a devotion. There's a commitment. And once we receive the power of the Spirit of God, my friend, God's people ought to be so impassioned to Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Acts chapter 1 with me this morning. Notice the verse. In verse number 1, it says this. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Here it is. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. This is Jesus speaking. You need to be passionate and devoted to me. It's not just about programs. It's not just about activities and events. And I'm all for those things and the fellowship of the people of God as a New Testament church. But my friend, the thing that ought to drive our passion is not events and programs and this event and that activity and those kind of things. The things that ought to drive a New Testament church is a devotion to Jesus Christ. And we want a world to know what we know deep down in our heart, how He can save us and forgive us of all our sins. We want people to know that pardon in their own life. We ought to be driven to Jesus and to witness to, yes, we're going to testify to others. Why? Because of what He's done for us. How much He loved us and who He is. Well, preacher, what if they don't accept? That's unfortunate. But that shouldn't stop me because I'm not devoted just to them. I'm devoted to Him. And if they receive it and they recognize their sin and they come to Christ and know Him like I know Him, wonderful. But even if the whole world stands and rejects and says, I don't want anything to do with it, I still ought to want to be that witness because my devotion is not to man. It's to Jesus Christ who saved me and loved me and has a plan for my life. See, too often we get discouraged about being a witness and trying to tell others about Christ. We get disheartened because it doesn't seem like people want to hear it. Maybe it goes beyond that and we've been ridiculed or to the point that we've been talked ugly to or dirty at, or somebody has really disassociated themselves with us because of our passion for the Lord. And when I'm talking about passion this morning, I'm just talking about a commitment to Him. I'm not talking about one of these that wants to be obnoxious and all that kind of stuff. It's not my job to manipulate people and try to put them in some kind of arm bar or something and make them profess Jesus Christ. It is just a love for Jesus us that ought to dwell up inside us that we want to tell everybody else about this Savior. Amen. So there's the power available. There's a passion anticipated. But there's also a plan advised. So what do you mean? Well, look at the verse. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. So here's the plan. I want you to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we understand how this works. Jerusalem is their immediate city. It's where they were located. Judea was their area. Samaria was the province right north of them, the uttermost parts of the earth. Can I tell you that is still the plan of God today, is that God's house would reach out to their community, their city, their local area, their region round about them, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I appreciate the way the Lord says this. Because he talks and he specifically mentions Samaria. He could have mentioned another country, but he mentioned Samaria. To the Jewish people, the Samaritans were ones that they didn't like. They were very prejudiced against them as a people and who they were. They looked down on them. But my friend, if you'll read the New Testament, you'll find that God is not concerned about skin colors. He's not concerned about social status and economic levels. You'll find Jew and Gentile. You'll find bond and free. You'll find those who are both poor and rich. You'll find all them gathered together often in New Testament churches throughout the New Testament, and they're there with the same Lord in the same salvation in the same body, worshiping the Savior that forgave them. If we're not careful, we sometimes look at folks, and maybe it's not by racial lines, maybe it's by culture lines. I'm not what I would consider an old man. Now, don't ask my kids about that, but I'm not what I would consider an old man. But I get around sometimes and walk through Walmart, and I'm thinking, I don't understand this world in which I live. I don't understand them. I'm not, and there's nothing spiritual about that. I'm just telling you, I don't understand how they could leave their home dressed in their pajamas. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand the hair colors, the piercings, the lingo. It makes no sense to me. It's a different culture, a different mentality. And maybe you're not as carnal as I am, judgmental as I am, critical. But I look at them sometimes and I think, Lord, have mercy. What a waste. A waste of potential, a waste of... And then I'm thinking, Lord, I'm sorry. Because as much as you died for me, and as hopeless and lost and wicked and steeped in sin as I was, so were they. And as much as you love me, you love them. We need to be willing to recognize that truth. Do you notice there it says in our passage this morning in Acts chapter 1, it says both. Both. You know the New Testament church is to be doing these things all at the same time. It's not, well, we'll reach ours, and preacher, when we're running 300 and a full staff and we got this and a new building and got everything, then we'll worry about the county next to us, or we'll worry about those in Chile or Western Australia or Papua New Guinea or China or somewhere else. Preacher, when we get ours taken care of, then we'll go beyond our own borders. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not the way it works. While we are reaching our own and reaching out to our co-workers and fellow airmen and neighbors and friends and people around our community, while we're trying to be the witness to them, we're also to be concerned about the next county, the next state, the countries around us, and even those Eskimos who live on the tundra, even those nomads who are in the Middle East and the desert. We're to be concerned about every soul that exists, because they are ones who Jesus gave his life for. Both. So, this is where we are. Jesus said about the times and the seasons, it's not yours to know. Don't concern yourself and give yourself to giving focus and attention. But here's what I do want you to know. I want you to know there's a power available. There's a passion anticipated from that power. And with that passion ought to drive us to a plan. And God has laid that out. Now listen to me carefully. Here's where we get. Now there's the personal accountability. Because here's what happens during missions conference. Often we hear the preacher get up or the pastor talk about missions conference, and we're going to be looking at this and we're going to do that. And we think of missions to the church, and it is to the church. The church, the Great Commission was given to the New Testament church. That is a doctrinal truth this morning, found in the Bible. But if we're not careful, we start looking at it in the big picture. And we start thinking, Lord, I sure hope you help our church increase mission support. Lord, I sure hope you speak to the church's heart and we do a better job about reaching our community. Lord, I hope you'd speak to the church, and I hope that the church as a whole, I hope that maybe somebody in the church will give their life to be a missionary on the foreign soil, or God, maybe you'll do this or that. And we really began to look at it in a corporate idea. But here's the truth. The New Testament church, ladies and gentlemen, is not the roof. It's not the walls. I know you know this. It's not the pews. It's not the carpet. It is the people who have been saved by the grace of God, scripturally baptized and accepted into the membership of that congregation. So, if Calvary Baptist Church is to do more for missions, it will be done through the members. And there is a personal accountability. So, if there is power available and a passion anticipated and a plan advised, I'm personally accountable to these things the Lord said he wanted his church to know. So I want to ask myself three questions this morning. And I want you to ask yourself these three questions. Number one, am I accessing this power? And what I mean by that is, am I allowing God to use my life to display and show his power through me? Because guess what? Being a witness is not just Brother Merrick's responsibility. It's not just the treasurer or the trustees or the deacons or missionaries or the guest priest. It's every single member who is a member of this particular church, because this congregation is accountable to the Great Commission and what's being said. And thereby, we need to ask ourselves, as I would ask myself from a member of Bible Baptist Church in Duncan, am I accessing this power? Am I allowing God to use me when I go to the store and pass out a tract? Or am I just going into Walmart to get my few groceries because my wife, brother, has given me my list too? We learned about lists this morning in Sunday school. I get those lists. And sometimes I get so narrow-minded and focused on my task that I forget there's people all around me. There's an opportunity. There's a chance to just share Jesus Christ. And it's not everybody else's job to do it. It's mine. So am I walking with God? Am I praying, Lord, open up a door today? You know, we pray for the Lord to open up doors for our missionaries. And there's nothing wrong with that. We'll learn about some of that hopefully this week in regards to our prayers on behalf of missionaries and such. But I'm telling you, we ought to be praying about ourselves. Lord, would you open a door for me? I've got this neighbor, and Lord, you have put me beside this neighbor. Of all the places that you could have had me live, you have me live here. You opened the door for me to reside in this position, and he needs the gospel. Lord, I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know if he'll be receptive, but God, would you open up opportunities for me to talk to him, to build a relationship with him, to be kind to him, to show what a Christian ought to be, and to be able to reach out to him. Lord, would you help me? We need to ask ourselves this morning, am I accessing this power that is available to the house of God? God, am I allowing you to direct my life, to guide my steps, and to be able to show that you really can reach people with the gospel? Now, preacher, you know, I just can't do that. I'm not built that way. I'm shy. Well, can I say this? There's a lot of things we can't do in our own strength. My friend, that's why we've been given the power of God. We've been given the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. And we need to ask ourselves, am I accessing this power? Then the second question is this: am I activating this passion? You ever thought about this morning what it is that drives you? You know, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You ever listen to people? You listen to them very long, they'll tell you what motivates them. Where their heart is, what they enjoy. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying things and being passionate about certain things. I like to bow hunt. That's a passion of mine. I enjoy that. I enjoy not just shooting things, but I enjoy being in the woods in the morning, watch the woods come alive and those kind of things. It's an enjoyable thing to me. You'll be around me very long, you'll know that I'll talk about bow hunting and Oklahoma Sooner football. Well, not much this season, all right. But I like those things. And there's nothing wrong with having enjoyments within their place. But there ought to be nothing that motivates us that we'd be any more passionate about than Jesus Christ himself. Bothers me getting around God's people sometimes, and all they talk about is the secular. The job, their retirement, politics. Can I tell you, sometimes the best thing we can do is turn off Fox News. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be up to date on things and that kind of stuff, but my friend, what people need is not a Republican in the White House necessarily. What they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be passionate about it. Preacher,
I hear what you're saying, but I'll just be honest. I'm probably not as passionate about the Lord and being a witness as I ought to be. And I just tell you this morning, I just don't know how to do that. I just don't know, and that kind of stuff. Can I tell you this morning, I'll share a verse or two of a Bible with you in just a second. But can I tell you, you understand with me that we can direct our heart? Well, I just can't help how I feel. That's not true. You can direct your heart and direct your passion if you'll do. Take your Bible. Let's look at it. I just want you to see a couple of verses. Go over to the New Testament. I'll just show you one this morning for time's sake. Go over to Matthew chapter 6 with me. You're turning there. I'm going to read you another verse. Proverbs 16 verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. Psalm 37 verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. But here's what Matthew chapter 6 says. Matthew chapter 6 verse 21. Matthew chapter 6 verse 21, here's what the scriptures tell you and I. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, we often interpret that in the idea of, well, you can determine where your heart is by where your treasure is. And there's some truth to that. But do you realize if you'll recommit your treasure, your heart will follow? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Will be. Direct your treasure, direct your heart. So, what kind of time am I given to being the witness that God wants me to be? What kind of effort am I putting into it? You see, we could develop a passion if we'll give our treasure to that. Our heart will thus follow. So we need to ask ourselves, am I accessing this power? Am I activating this passion? And then let me give you the last one this morning. Am I advancing this plan? What am I doing to help see the plan of God to reach a world? And by the way, this is God's plan. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's God's plan. Go ye therefore into all, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. That is God's plan. There is not a plan B, by the way. This is God's plan. So what am I doing to advance this? What am I doing to reach my Judea? What am I doing to reach out to those to whom live in a culture that is totally foreign and I don't understand? What am I trying to do to show them what a Christian is and befriend them and impact somebody's life? Maybe it starts not with just some gospel presentation of A, B, C, and D, but maybe it starts with us reaching out and showing them the kindness that ought to reside within a child of God. I'm greatly concerned within Christian churches today, and I'm talking about Baptist churches of our stripes and those things, and it seems like we don't have the kindness within us that ought to reside as a child of God. I wonder this morning if we would show people that we actually care, if we might not make a bigger impact upon them. Am I advancing this plan? Now, preacher, I got what you're saying. And I got where you're settling in right here. And you're talking about being a witness and trying to reach our neighbors and our co-workers and all that kind of stuff. It's not just that. What are you doing for the uttermost part? Because, see, we're to do both. Well, I can't be in two places. I know that. But that's why we sin. And I believe this. If there were no other churches, listen to me carefully this morning. if there were no other churches on the face of planet Earth but Calvary Baptist Church in Knob Noster, Missouri, there is still a great commission. And the responsibility still lies. And the need still exists of a world to be reached. I'm grateful for other churches that we can partnership and we can support missionaries from each other and send to the foreign field to get what God wants done. But if there were no other churches, there's still a responsibility. There's still a job to do. What am I doing? What am I willing to do? Am I willing to give my life? Am I willing to say, Lord, I'll go? Isaiah heard the Lord said, who shall we send? He didn't even know where. Lord, I'll go. I don't believe that every young man is called to be a preacher. But I think every young man ought to be willing to be a preacher. I think every Christian ought to be willing to be a missionary, to give their life and do what God wants them to do. You see, it's not just missions and the church. It's not just missions conference for the entire congregation. The idea is missions and me. What's my place in this? God says there's a power available. There's a passion anticipated. And there's a plan advised. So what am I doing? Am I accessing that power? Am I allowing God to show Himself through me? Am I activating that passion? Am I setting my heart? God, I want to be better. I want to be a better witness. I want you to use me. Am I activating that passion? And then what am I doing with the plan? How am I advancing your plan to reach the world? I want to ask you this morning. I want to challenge you this week about our personal involvement in missions. We're going to get into a little bit more detail about some things as the Lord allows and challenge us in certain areas. But here's what we ought to do this morning. I want you to listen to me carefully, and I'm done. I want you to ask yourself those three questions. Say, Lord, am I really allowing you to show yourself mighty? Am I allowing yourself to use my life in any way that you want? I want you to ask yourself, where's your passion at this morning? You're more interested in your career. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a career. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be interested in that. But I'm telling you, there's nothing that ought to thrill us, motivate us, have a passion and be devoted like we would Jesus Christ. So where's your passion this morning? What are you doing for the plan? Maybe it's an issue that God would encourage your heart this morning to give more in the regards to missions, to help be able to send other missionaries. God, help me. Help me to access this power. Help me to activate this passion in my life. And God, might you help me to advance the plan that you have set forth to reach the world. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. Might God help us move within our hearts, draw us to Him. There's no greater subject and no greater responsibility laid upon the house of God than the subject of world evangelism. It depends upon us as individual members to make sure that this is being done.
Maybe you need to spend some time on the altar, some time where you're at this morning. And just say, Lord, I want to leave this week more involved, more committed, more in tune about this subject, missions and me. Help me. God, if you deal with nobody else, deal with me.